Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that free Odyssey app. It is 510, 89 degrees here on this Tuesday, July 15th, 2025. Let's go to the phone now. We have Frank from I-81. Frank, you driving on 81 right now? Hopefully it's hands-free.
Yes, and I'm in traffic, too. Hey, Rob, I just wanted to tell you, I love the show. I'm a first-time caller, a long-time listener. And I got to give you credit, man. You got the patience of a saint, okay? The last guy, you can't stop immigration for 20 years. I was in the pizza business. I grew up in Brooklyn. I moved here a long time ago. And every time I go back to Brooklyn, I get sick to my stomach. But that's another story. You cannot stop legal. I met so many intelligent people from Germany, from Poland. They're engineers at Procter & Gamble. I mean, it's... You have to have people that come here and bring us something. These single males, they're horrible, and that is so true. So they can't stay, but you need qualified people.
We definitely need immigration, legal immigration from around the world, people who want to come here and assimilate and become Americans.
And assimilate. My dad came here in 1956, okay? The guy came from Italy, and he got drafted. You know, he was too embarrassed to fail the test, and he copied off the guy next to him. Didn't speak a lick of English. Winds up in the brig, because they couldn't figure out left, right. He assimilated. Like, we weren't allowed to speak Italian. We celebrated the 4th of July. Oh, man. And he was proud that he was a soldier. He was only there for 2 months and 4 dips. And thanks to being a cop, too. Every time I go to Brooklyn, my mom is still there. I shake every cop's hand. I don't know how they do it. I don't know how. I don't know. I give you a ton of credit.
How long have you been here, Frank, in Pennsylvania?
Oh, God. Honestly, my dad bought a place when I was 7 years old, 1969. I'm older than dirt. But I moved officially in 1989. And I love it here. I love it here. I live in the country. I love it. But like I said, I can't get my mom out of Brooklyn. And what am I going to do? I still have to go there. But when I go, it's sad. It's like I grew up on 18th Avenue. I don't know if you're familiar with Bensonhurst. And I'm Italian, and there's so many Italian shops, and, oh, man, I get the best of everything. There's no more Italian food there. It's sad, but I do love Chinese food.
Yeah, no, I get you. My wife's from down over near the Navy Yards in Sunset Park there.
Oh, okay,
so.
Wonderful. And I went to St. John's for a couple of years, but that didn't wind up too good, so I made pizza. Hey.
You still making pizza, my friend?
Nah, I got too old. I had a good place, and I went downtown. I had Da Vinci Pizza downtown, and...
All right, Frank, you're breaking up. We lost you there, but I appreciate your call. There, you back there? Okay. You're breaking up there, Frank. I appreciate your call for the first time there. So, hey, listen, you've been here for decades and loves it here. That's what assimilation is. You know, I get hassled all the time for my slight New York accent. You haven't heard the guy over in KRZ in the mornings, right? He's got that Bronx accent. He was complaining about how come the coffee in here is not good. The coffee. And so you guys thought my accent was bad. Check out KRZ in the morning. It's even strong for me, and I lived in New York 27 years. But, I've lived here 22 years. This is where I wanted to raise my kids and spend the rest of my life, so I consider myself here now. This is home. I lived in New York City once upon a time. I was born and raised in New York, but this is home for me. And that's what assimilation is about. You could be born and raised anywhere in the world. If you want to come here and make this home, legally, it could be. If you want to come here and bring all your nonsense that you brought, just like if you're from New York and you're moving to Florida, or you're from California and you're moving to Texas, don't bring your New York and California to Texas or Florida. You're moving there for a better life. Move here for a better life. Don't move here to use our systems against us. It's as simple as that. That's all I'm saying. And listen, I will stick with it. If we secure our borders, which we're doing a good job of doing now, if we solidify that, we can then do comprehensive immigration reform. Listen, the people who've come up in over the last 5 years under this free-for-all, I'm sorry, you're going to have to go and start over. But the people who have been here longer than that, some plan needs to be made. Now, I'm not talking about amnesty for everyone. I'm talking about, listen, you will never be able to become a citizen. You came in here illegally. You beat the system. You made it. You flew under the radar. If you do not have a criminal record, you're not a burden on our social services or whatever it may be, okay, you can get permanent status, but you won't become a citizen because that takes the voting thing away from the people who want them to be here for voters. You have to pay a fine or whatever the situation is determined to be by our legislators, and then you're here legally. You're vetted, you're known, you can work, you can do what you need to do above bar. The people who snuck in or came in here, it's funny because I have some Yahoo on the text messages telling me, you know, how did I get those numbers of millions here that aren't supposed to be? They all just snuck in. So I got the Customs and Immigration Service numbers that 15.8 million illegal immigrants are here as of 2025. And I gave the numbers who came in: 2021, 1.9 million, 2022, 2.8 million, 2023, 3.2 million, 2024, 1.5 million. Those are direct from the Department of Homeland Security stats of who came in under the last administration. So yes, it is in the millions. And if facts hurt you, and the response I get after I gave those numbers direct from the source, oh, so you just make it up. Okay, cool, thanks. And that's the response that you get from these lightheaded yahoos that are out there that live in their own little world. Or they just text for fun because they have no life and have nothing else to occupy their times with. But hey, I'm getting paid to be here. I will answer your moronic texts and give you the facts as need be and make fun of you on the radio because that entertains our listeners as well. So that being said, as I pull up that sort of thing, the three Democrats have won a double-digit support in early 2028 presidential primary polling with one clear frontrunner. Yes, Democrats, they did a poll to see who would be the lead for the 2028 Democrat presidential primary poll. And former President Kamala Harris is the 2028 Democratic presidential primary frontrunner by a substantial margin, according to a poll released yesterday, Monday. Harris, who lost the 2024 primary in a landslide to President Trump, I don't know if it was a landslide, but it was a pretty good victory, received 26% support from Democrats and Democrat-leaning voters in a survey conducted by Echelon Insights. Former Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg and California Governor Gavin Newsom were the only other Democrats to muster double-digit support, 11% for Pete Buttigieg, 10% for Gavin Newsom, respectively. Rounding out the top five were Senator Cory Booker, who received 7% of Democrats' votes, and Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who garnered 6% backing. At 3%, entrepreneur Mark Cuban led the group of political outsiders included in the survey, with sports commentator, here you're going to love this, Jake, Stephen A. Smith and comedian Jon Stewart both receiving 1% apiece. So not surprising. 13% of voters indicated that they were unsure who they'd vote for, with the primary still more than 2 years away. So it's not unheard of. Newsom and Buttigieg increased slightly when Harris, who reportedly mulling a run for governor in California, was not included with the poll, both of them only reaching 12%. So even with Harris not in the poll, Buttigieg and Gavin Newsom only received 12% of the vote. Ocasio-Cortez got 9% and topped Booker at 8% in that scenario. That's, again, with Kamala Harris not in the poll. And Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, 7%, jumped into the top five. Interesting, and that slate of candidates, all of them, Tim Walz, Cory Booker, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Kamala Harris, Pete Buttigieg, and Gavin Newsom, run any one of them, please. Please run any one of them. I highly, highly would be entertained by that. But it just goes to show that Democrats themselves are not very happy with what's going on here. Now, on the Republican side, and again, here's the difference. Kamala Harris only got 26%. On the Republican side, J.D. Vance, who will be in our area tomorrow, 1 o'clock, received 42% support, held a commanding 33-point lead over his closest rival, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, who was backed by 9% of GOP and GOP-leaning voters, Secretary of State Marco Rubio, 7%, former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley, 6%, Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. at 5%, and Vivek Ramaswamy back in at 4%, within striking distance of DeSantis, but well behind Vance. It's going to be interesting to see how this rounds out. Is it going to be a J.D. Vance, Ron DeSantis ticket, president, vice president? I think that would be a winning ticket. But again, 2 years, long way to go. We'll see, and hopefully we'll see a little bit more of what Vice President J.D. Vance has to say tomorrow here in our area. It's 5:20 here at WILK, time for 2020 Traffic and Weather Together. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. Hang on one second. Let me just... Sending stuff because, you know, I keep the receipts. When I say numbers, specifically numbers and years and such like that, to you on, in the public, you know, I'm getting it from official sources. So people are questioning the sources I'm getting it from, and it has to be the Office of the Homeland Security Statistics, CBP Encounters, the official OHSS.DHS.gov, Office of Homeland Security Statistics from the Department of Homeland Security. That's where I'm getting those numbers from, for anyone who's questioning that. But we'll see here. Let me go to the phone now. We have Josh from Blakely. Josh.
Hey, Rob. How are you? I guess WILK and your predecessor, I believe, Frank Andrews, helped me assimilate to the area. No, I didn't move from another country or anything, but I moved from the other side of the state to an area that I was unfamiliar with. And just listening to the radio, driving down the road, you hear a different neighborhood and different town. And I'd never been there before, but I know it sounds odd, but simple things like that really helped me assimilate to the area. And somehow I am employed, and I'd rather not disclose where I'm working at, but somehow I am employed in a very Lackawanna County-esque industry that is very nepotistic. And
no, you don't. Outsider. In Lackawanna County, I'm shocked.
Here I am, some guy from the other side of the state, entrusted to a rather large site. That includes our main office and our maintenance office and our maintenance warehouse. And I'm surrounded by my bosses and the director and the assistant director and secretaries and CPAs. And I'm thinking, how did I ever get a job here? So I don't know if it's because they keep me as a token at this site or because maybe they like my work. I'm not sure that I'll ever know. Not sure that it ever matters. I'm just one guy trying to make a living.
Well, I appreciate you making a living. I appreciate you assimilating to the area when you came. I appreciate you listening to us.
Hey, yes, sir. I'll catch up with you next time. I thank you.
Thank you, Josh. Thank you for calling in. And that's true. It doesn't matter where you move from or live from. If it was from across the state, another state like I did, or from another nation, you know, it's behooves you to assimilate with that area and bring your special uniqueness to that area as well, but don't try and change that area to your uniqueness. Now, if people decide they want to take on some of your traits or some of your traditions or such like that, which happens a lot as far as cooking goes or stuff like that. You know, when I moved here, I'm a very good cook. My wife will tell you that all the time. I enjoy cooking. It's something I like to do. And when I moved here, I was also into wild game and preparing wild game properly. And I did it for my friends who've born and raised here, generations here, never liked goose. And then I made goose certain ways, and they were like, hey, this is pretty good. Never liked duck. And then I took duck breasts, and I wrapped it in bacon and marinated it in some pineapple juice and sautéed it, and they thought it was phenomenal, but you know, they hunted ducks all the time, just never really cared for it, usually gave the duck breasts away or the meat away. But prepared right, you know, it was something that I brought to the table here because I enjoyed cooking. I enjoyed looking into the different things. You know, I enjoyed preparing wild game. You know, bear. Bear is has a very bad reputation unless it's made properly. You know, you make a bear like corned beef and you brine it properly, you couldn't tell the difference between a corned beef and, you know, a bear brisket. So, you know, that's all assimilation. But things like porchetta and making my own kielbasa and stuff like that and making my own wine. I didn't start making my own wine until I lived here. I really wish I knew how to make my own wine when I was in college. I would be a millionaire right now. But that said, I'm not. And I enjoy making my own wine, and that's something I learned from my neighbors here. And it's interesting because after only a couple of years, my neighbors, my friends, who were all older than me, you know, I always kind of hung out with a crowd a little older than me. Maybe it's a wisdom thing. You know, look for mentors when you come to a different area. You know, my hunting buddies and people I just hung out with, went fishing and just hung out with day to day. You learn from that. You know, that's what it was about. But they said after a few years, hey, you assimilated real well to this area, because when I first bought my property, you know, somebody asked, hey, who bought the house over there? And, you know, my neighbor across the street, who I turned out being very good friends with, said, oh, some prick from New York. And when he introduced me to his friends, we had a convocation one day where a bunch of guys got together and we were going to fry turkey breasts because it was just after turkey season. And, you know, it kind of just came out when they were like, hey, who's this? And he was like, oh, this is the prick from New York. And I laughed and they all laughed and they were like, oh, I guess this, you know, when it came out of his mouth, he said, well, this can go one of two ways. And the fact that I thought it funny and everyone else thought it funny, because I pretty much was to them, right? But I assimilated real well because I wanted to make this home. I wanted to raise my kids here. I want to live here for the rest of my life if I can. And that's been my goal for the past 22 years. When I saw the house before we purchased it, when we walked into the house, I looked at it. I said, I want to spend the rest of my life here. You know, you've seen the views if you follow me on social media. You've seen what I have up there, and I appreciate that. I appreciate what I have up there. I worked hard to get that. And, you know, I love where I am. And I love the fact that I raised my children there, and all three became successful because of that base, because of that home front. And, you know, now I'm joking with them all where they can't sell the ranch. They can't sell it. They got to keep it. Got to keep it going. And the thing is, I don't know if they want to live here, so we'll see what happens. My wife definitely wants to move to beachier, warmer climate, but I think I can get away with the snowbird thing where we go away from January to April and then back up here for the rest of the time that I love. As long as I can, anyway. Cutting all those acres, starting to get old, though, but we'll see. It's 5:32 here at WILK. It's time for the news with Paul Michaels. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show at WILK News Radio. It is coming up on 5:37 here, 89 degrees on this Tuesday, July 15th. So tomorrow, Vice President J.D. Vance is going to be flying into Avoca Airport, and he's going to be speaking here in West Pittston, Don's Machine Shop. Now, I don't know how big Don's Machine Shop is, but it doesn't look very big. And we'll be I'll be covering it down there. I'll probably call in Sue Henry's show. I have to be there earlier in the day, obviously, to get through security checkpoints and all this. There's off-site parking. And if you're headed there, try and get dropped off or carpool in or some other means of traffic. There's going to be no parking near the event whatsoever. So even though there were, I believe, tickets available, if you have a ticket, you might want to get there via another way. You know, either ride service or something like that. So we'll see where that goes, but he will be in our area. You got to figure from about 10 o'clock, 12 o'clock on. He's scheduled to speak at 1, which means any time from 11 to 1, you'll have airport and street closers and such like that. So just be aware that traffic's going to be a mess probably from about 11 o'clock till 3 o'clock throughout the airport 81, the Turnpike and West Pittston area. So we'll see what's going to happen there. Let me go to the phone now. We have Joe from Huntington Mills on cooking. Joe.
Hey, how you doing, Rob?
Okay.
I met your duck and goose and all that. I don't know. I consider myself. I always told my wife I'm going to make some man happy someday the way I cook. I hope it didn't offend anybody, you know. But anyway, I do. I take I most of my recipes I've taken from my mom, which she's from Polish descent. And one of the ones you talked about was goose. Goose has to be the hardest, unless you make anybody can make Slim Jims and beef jerky out of anything and dry it out. But if you're going to eat a goose like the right way, I don't know if you know this one recipe. And duck, it goes for duck. Orange marmalade sauce, brown sugar, orange juice, and stuff it with wild rice, like an Uncle Ben's wild rice. And in like one of those cooking roaster bags, and with carrots. You want something sweet, 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 sweet. The sweeter the better, and brown sugar too in with that. And my dad, when he was alive, World War II vet, we used to almost, I hate to say it, he used to almost fight over it. My mother said, I'm not making it anymore. It was up in her. And my dad was never a hunter or anything, but when it came to her making goose, and duck, he wouldn't eat because he had a pet duck back in, he was born in 1925, so they kind of killed his pet. I don't want to get into that, but I'm from Harrison, New Jersey myself, so I was considered a PR from there too until everybody got to know me, and now I'm living up at Huntington Mills with my wife, three grandchildren. I love listening to your show.
Well, I appreciate it. Goose also, a good way to do goose is you take the breast and you put it in a crock pot and you cook it like a pulled pork, and then you shred it up and add some barbecue sauce. It's a lot of people can't tell the difference between that and pulled pork or pulled beef.
Did you ever have dove?
Yes.
You like dove?
Yep. Fry them up in a pan right in the field during lunch.
And with papinki mushrooms, wild papinki mushrooms, or if you have the opportunity to get the other ones that are fantastic. They taste like it's called, I believe it's like, it tastes like chicken. It's a chicken mushroom, they call it. I don't know if you ever had that.
Yeah, the name escapes me right now, but I know what you're talking about. I could see it.
They're fantastic. That is the best mushroom you can get. And people actually go into the woods and camouflage so they can't find out their secret spot. You never had that. You never have had that then, obviously.
No, I know what you're talking about. And actually, when we used to go up fishing to Lake Ontario, we had a couple guys that go out into the woods, come back with a whole bucket of the papinki mushrooms, and we'd bread them up in some beer batter and deep fry them, and they were phenomenal.
No, but the other mushroom I'm looking at is not a papinki. It's considered a, they're underneath oak trees. It's a bigger mushroom than a papinki. It's huge.
No, I know the one. I can picture the mushroom. I just don't have the name of it on the top of my head.
They call it not a chicken. It's, my goodness. It's great. I mean, if they flour that and they egg it, and then you would not know. You would think it's a meat.
Yep.
If I ever get some, and I don't know, I don't go out, I retired, I'm like lazy, I can't get out there to pick, and if I ever get any, I'll drop it off for your work, and you have to try it.
I appreciate
it. And it's like, it's not like any other mushroom, like there's no other one that you can double up and get sick on, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no doubt. Joe, I have to leave it there. Okay. I'm up against traffic and weather.
All right, you take care, nice talking to you.
Thank you, my friend. It's 5:42 here at WILK, time for traffic and weather. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. Brian, I'm going to get to you in just a second. So I have a couple of texters that say the name of that mushroom is the sheep's head, and I got another person that says it's called the hen of the woods. So we have two different names for mushrooms, sheep's head or hen of the woods. So without actually seeing the mushroom or looking at them both, I guess we'll never know, but those are some names that are being thrown out here on a text message line. Let me go to the phone now. We have Brian from Wilkes-Barre on No Tax on Tips. Brian.
Yeah. I want why no tax on tip, no tax on time, and no tax on totally. I want to know why.
Because it helps working class people who make overtime and depend on it or work on tips. to help increase actually decrease their tax benefit and increase their annual revenue.
But Trump said no tax on totally, no tax on overtime, no tax on everything, you know?
Well, no tax on tips, no tax on overtime. They are letting you write off tax on interest for a new vehicle and some other things. No tax on Social Security as well.
But they didn't do that.
Yeah, no tax on Social Security was included in there.
Because the Democrats are doing that. They don't want to do that.
No, it was done in the big, beautiful bill.
Well, and like plan but to come tomorrow, and what are you going to talk about?
Well, J.D. Vance, the vice president's coming tomorrow, and he's going to talk about manufacturing because he's talking at a local manufacturer about the big, beautiful bill and how it's helping with manufacturing. Because people who work in manufacturers like that often do work for overtime.
Not helping me, you know.
Do you make overtime at your job?
I'm retired, you know.
Okay, do you get Social Security?
Yeah, I'm on Social Security, but I don't think nothing about no tax on Social Security.
Well, no tax on Social Security is part of the big, beautiful bill, so you might want to look on the internet and see what you can find out about that.
Okay.
All right. Thank you for calling, Brian.
Okay, bye.
Thank you. 550 here at WILK. Let me see what we have here. I saw this story. It was in both the lifestyle and the business section, and it said people drowning in debt are turning to ChatGPT for help. And the cue is, I need to do something about it, about their debt. Now, Jean Allen, a realtor from Delaware, found herself in a ton of debt a few years ago, but with the help of AI, she's managed to pay down half her debt. I'm going to tell the story first, and then we're going to talk about it a little bit, which is what we do. She began posting her journey in being debt-free on her TikTok account, of course, back in October of 2024, but it wasn't until she turned to ChatGPT to help her debt started to rapidly decrease. After enduring what she called a traumatic birth back in 2023 that landed her daughter in the NICU, that's the intensive care unit for children, the neonatal intensive care unit, Allen quickly racked up $23,000 in credit card debt when she was forced to take a break from work due to severe postpartum depression, according to her story. Feeling desperate, she turned to AI for some help. The mom sent the following prompt to ChatGPT. I am in credit card debt. I don't know how much credit card debt I'm in, but I need to do something about it, and I don't know where to start, according to the outlet. Now, the bot, ChatGPT, suggested that she organize herself by creating a debt repayment tracker in Google Sheets to figure out how much money she was in the hole for. From there, every day she was to complete a new task to help her pay back some of her owed money. Some of the ideas actually made money right away. And overall, it kept me accountable every day, she told in her story. In addition to her 30-day challenge, ChatGPT helped her learn about new side hustles that she could take on extra cash for. It also provided her with meal ideas so she could cook at home more and meal plan and save money that way. After putting in the work and help from her trusty AI, the 35-year-old managed to pay off $12,000, half of her debt, as of July 2025. And she isn't the only one following this method to become debt-free. It turns out a lot of people in their 20s and 30s are turning to ChatGPT to help them manage their money and help pay down their debt. Now, here's the thing. The story says that she was suffering from severe postpartum depression after her child was in the NICU, and that's very understandable and reasonable. She racked up her credit card debt because she was not working. She was dealing with her situation. Dealing with ChatGPT, which is telling her to do these daily tasks, is taking her mind off what was stymieing her, the postpartum depression. put her in a rut to where she wasn't doing her normal routine. So now just simply by engaging in ChatGPT and getting these daily tasks and keeping track and spreadsheets of these things got her involved, got her engaged in her personal finances on a daily basis, taking her mind off the things that were stressing her out and keeping her down. It's also giving her common sense recommendations that family members, friends, or anyone else could have probably given her, but you know, sometimes that's taken as insults. Constructive criticisms from our friends or recommendation, it's why a lot of people go out to coaches, private life coaches, that aren't friends. Your friends and family could probably give you the best advice there is, but here's the thing. They don't want to hurt your feelings. They want to reaffirm your well-being and your feelings, so they don't tend to give direct, solid, good advice, which is why an independent life coach has been better in that, because they'll give you the black and white, the good and the bad, and what's best for you per their opinion. They're not trying to coddle you. They're not trying to massage your ego. They're not trying to do any of those things. They're just saying, this is how you become successful. This is how you do better. This is how you do things. So a lot of people turn to those stranger life coaches, to where your spouse, to where your siblings, to your parents and everything could give you very good advice too. But a lot of times they don't want to hurt your feelings. They don't want to give you the tough love. So this is part of that. ChatGPT is just that. It's a bot. It's a computer program. It's telling you common sense things to help with your debt. Things that most of us know already, but we tend to ignore because we want that feel-good moment. That's why we come into debt. When you spend money, when you buy something for yourself, when you go out for a nice dinner, when you buy that new dress or that new suit or that jacket or that cowboy hat, those boots, whatever you're going to buy, even if it costs a lot of money, it makes you feel good. It sends up endorphins in your system, and it temporarily boosts your morale, your ego, your feeling good. And then you start looking at the bills and you start realizing you're in a bigger hole, and that, you know, starts getting more. Just like gambling. Hey, you feel good when you're gambling. You're out there. You're excited. It's the thrill of the moment and this and that. But then you start losing and then you realize, well, you're in a big hole. And that depression sets in. Same thing. So it's good that she's finding this as a useful tool to do these things. And AI and chat bots and all these things are good tools for just that. You know, I crunch numbers all the time using ChatGPT. It saves my time on the calculator, does it quicker. I did realize you need to double check a lot of the things that you're getting from that. But that being said, it is a useful tool, but it's just that. And again, listening to the story, I don't think it was some wonder that AI or ChatGPT was helping this woman with her debt or clear her debt. It was her ability all the time. She just needed guidance. And ChatGPT was a comfortable guidance for her, something to focus on, something to work with, something she didn't have to feel embarrassed or interact with other people to worry about. Something, you know, your debt, your money situation is very personal. So it worked. And if it works for you, that's a good thing. But again, if you look at it, it's not some computer whiz. It's not some AI, you know, wonder tool. It's just giving you common sense advice that you probably have inside you to begin with. It's 5:57 here at WILK. We'll be back to close out the show in just a minute. Well, that's it for the Rob O'Donnell Show today on this Tuesday, July 15th, 2025. It's coming up on the 6 o'clock hour, 88 degrees outside. It's going to be a beautiful evening. Go out for a walk. Take your significant other, go for a walk. Take your kids out, do something. Get them on their bicycle, get them out and have them ride around you as you go for a walk. Do something, right? Don't let the moments pass you by without doing something special, because we don't know how long we have on this place we call Earth. So make the best of it. It's all we can do. It's all we can do at all. But tomorrow, I will be here in the studio sooner or later. I will be covering the Vice President in West Pittston event. Will not be live, but I will be here right after it. Hopefully I can get some interviews while I'm there. I know there'll be local officials. If you're there, maybe speak to one of you and get your input on why you're there and what you're expecting to hear. And then we'll be here in the studio as soon as I can get here, because I'm going to be dealing with the same traffic a lot of you are, just getting simply from there to here. So just know that you will have traffic issues tomorrow from probably anywhere after 11 o'clock till about 3 o'clock. He is supposed to speak, the vice president, at 1 o'clock in West Pittston. So you figure the way those things usually work, you know, he lands about 12 o'clock, zooms over into motorcade. They shut down 81, shut down whatever they need. Thankfully, it's not too long. Maybe even they take side streets. Who knows? We won't know till tomorrow, but there will be road closures and there will be traffic issues. Other than that, we'll see you tomorrow and have all the insights of tomorrow when we do. It's 6 o'clock here at WILK. God bless. Be safe. We will see you tomorrow.